This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Holland, 19, but with the mind of a 10-year-old child, an IQ of just 64. But you wouldn't know that to look at her. She looks like a beautiful teen girl. Holland, 19, mind of a 10-year-old, vanishes from a party, sparking serial killer fears across the region. Good evening. I'm Nancy Grace. This is Crime Stories. Thank you for being with us.
Holland Snap, a teenager living with her adoptive family in Kingsport, Tennessee, was known for her bright spirit and trusting nature until someone took advantage of that trust.
What happened to Holland? I want to go straight out to Holland's former foster mom and her adoptive mom. Now, her name is Holland, but she is affectionately called Holly Ann. So we're going to go back and forth between them, and I'll tell you why. If you think you see this girl, we are hoping to bring her home alive. She answers to Holland and Holly Ann. To you, Leslie Hunt, tell me your most vivid memory of Holland.
My most vivid memory of Holland is when she first came here to live with us as our foster child. She's just a bubbly, happy 8.5-year-old. And she has a very country accent, and she would say hilarious things all the time. We would try to get her to eat her vegetables, of which she called vegetables. So we still call our vegetables vegetables to this day. Holland had lots of quirky little things that she would say at my house, and I think those are still what's so prominent to me, and we still use a lot of those sayings that she has.
Like when you say perky things, you know, we do that too. When John David, my son, was a baby, I would say, ask the question, I would go, yes or no, which one? And he'd go, Ness. And my daughter, instead of saying yes, would say deet. We actually still say that, Ness and deet. That's, I'm just thinking back on all the memories you have of this beautiful girl. And when I almost said little, but she's 19 at the time she disappears, but she was diminutive in stature. How tall is Holly Ann?
Holly Ann is 4'9", and at the last time her mom saw her, she weighed probably about 90 pounds. So she is the exact same height and weight as my 11-year-old daughter.
Also, in addition to Leslie Hunt joining us, Holly Ann's former foster mom is Heather Snap, her adoptive mom. And you know what's amazing, ladies, that when I have been involved in searching for children, and she does have the mind of a 10 to 11-year-old child, although she looks like a beautiful young lady, if there's any, you know, extended family, in-laws, stepmoms, stepdads, there's always some kind of a turf battle, but which doesn't help anything. But you two have really banded together trying to find Holland. And I'm just so heartened by that. I wish others could take your example. To Heather Snap, Holland's adoptive mother, Heather, tell me your most vivid memory. And everybody, please listen. I don't know how, and I don't know why, but this information could help bring her home. Heather?
Well, one of the most vivid memories was when she first came to me, and we were doing visits, and she told me that she was a vampire. I said, that's funny. I said, I am too. And that's how, you know, that's how the ground was broken, and that's how our relationship started. She was very imaginative.
Guys, we have our children. We know where they are. These two moms are desperately, desperately trying to find Holly Ann. Not only is she a teen girl with the mind of a 10-year-old child, she's extremely trusting. Listen.
She's very trusting of people that she definitely should not be trusting of. She's never met a stranger, and everybody, according to her, loves her and has her best interest at heart. Mm-hmm. You know, unfortunately, today's 460 days that she's been missing. We know now that she was wrong about that. People do not always have your best interest at heart, and I wish that we could have instilled that in her a little bit more.
Family members desperate to locate Holland Snap, last seen on October 5th at a party on Belridge Drive in Kingsport, Tennessee. Holland is 4'9", 90 pounds, with brown hair, hazel eyes, and an Eye of Providence tattoo on her forearm. Anyone with info asked to call Sullivan County Sheriffs at 423-279-7330 or the TBI at 1-800-TBI-FIND.
That's from Missing People in America. So, the situation is even more dangerous for this little girl who wants to be accepted as a 19-year-old when her mind is that of a 10-year-old. So she goes to a party. And what is so shocking to me, to Leslie Hunt, this is Holland's foster mom. Leslie, people saw her at the party. And they did nothing. And now she's gone? I mean, if you could speak to some of the ghouls at that party, they see a little, she's 4'9". I mean, what, she's 90 pounds soaking wet? And they do nothing? What would you say to them?
I don't know how they can do that, as a lot of them have children, they have grandchildren. And they did absolutely nothing to help Holland. They could have called in a false fire and said, hey, this house is on fire. Can somebody go there? They could have called in, hey, there's a hurt, injured animal at this house. Can animal control go there? They could have done a million things. They could have called us. They could have contacted us privately on social media. They could have contacted her biological family, which a lot of them know. They could have done a million different things.
Wait. Hey, that's something new I didn't know, Leslie. So people, some of the people anyway, at this party knew Holly Ann. They knew who she was, and they did nothing. Seeing, you know, she had to be crying. You know, she had to be in the corner crying, not speaking. She had just gotten a horrible beating, and now she's gone. Somebody took her from that party. They knew her and they did nothing?
Exactly. They knew her and they did nothing to help whatsoever.
Oh, you know, I want you to see and hear Holly Ann. Listen, have you seen this girl?
Because I can't help it.
You can't help it?
Yeah. I'm actually about to cry. That's how bad I've been laughing inside.
At age 10, Erica Bilheimer gets a fresh name with a fresh start. Adopted by Heather and Stephen Snap, she chooses now to be known as Holland Snap. Holland and the Snaps remain in close contact with her previous foster mother, Leslie Hunt, who took care of Holland for more than a year. Over time, Holland doesn't change much. At 19, she stands just 4'9" tall, and she has the mental capacity of a 10-year-old child.
A 10-year-old child. Joining us is Karen Stark, forensic psychologist, who is a renowned TV and radio trauma expert at KarenStark.com. Karen, what does that actually mean? I've heard that phrase used. What does that mean? You have the mind, you're 19, but you have the mind of a 10-year-old.
You're developmentally delayed, Nancy. That's what it means. You haven't really matured. She has stayed at that age. And most likely for the rest of her life, we hope she's okay. She will not be much older. It's a terrible thing to happen to your child, but she seems so beautiful and alive and wonderful that it doesn't seem to have affected her at all. It will make her vulnerable.
So a predator who is targeting her, Karen, thinks he, and let's be honest, I know the defense attorney, Fran Borghardt's not going to like it, but overwhelmingly, statistically, it is a man that took her And it is a man that beat her to a pulp. This little girl with a 10-year-old mind, he thinks he's with a 19-year-old woman when he's really with a 10-year-old little girl. So this is working against her horribly. Then Heather, her adoptive mom, suffered a horrible MS bout.
When a loved one passes away, Heather Snapp suffered severe MS flare-ups, making it hard to care for Hollin. Hollin moves in with her biological aunt in Kingsport.
On October 5th, Hollin texts Heather she's attending a party at a home on Bell Ridge Drive with a man a trusted friend introduced her to, 52-year-old Stephen Linkus. In her text, Hollin mentions Linkus didn't want her telling anyone his name, which Heather finds odd. It's the last contact she has with Hollin.
She had texted Heather an address in Kingsport and said, hey, this is where I am, and this is who I am with, although he didn't want me to tell you his name. But she told Heather his name in that text, which is also Holland.
That from Missing People in America. Gosh, there's so much there to dissect. But to Franz Borghardt joining us, veteran criminal defense attorney out of Baton Rouge, founder of the Borghardt Law Firm and professor LSU. Franz, thank you for being with us. What is a 52-year-old man doing with a 19-year-old girl?
Well, Nancy, we don't know what he's doing with her, and jumping to conclusions is certainly not a pathway to either finding her or figuring out what happened. That said, he's obviously presumed innocent. There's been no showing that he's done anything wrong. Optics aside, you know, we don't know what he was doing with her.
Okay, I love it when people say optics aside. So I should believe you or my lying eyes? You want me to forget what I'm seeing, pretend I'm not seeing that? You know what? Heather, what is a 52-year-old man doing with a 19-year-old little girl? You know, Heather Snapp and Leslie Hunt, to you, Heather, you spent years nurturing Hollin, helping her, trying to overcome her disability, and to look at her, you'd have no idea. And then somehow she gets in the mix at this party and she's never seen again. How many times, Heather Snapp, have you relived that moment over and over in your mind?
More than I would like to count. There was often times I would lay awake replaying it in my head.
Guys, we have to find Hollin. We have to find out what happened to her. What good are we if we don't care about this girl, a 52-year-old man with a 19-year-old girl that has the mind of a 10-year-old child? Take a look at him, Stephen Linkus. He, of course, is presumed innocent until proven guilty. Why? What was he doing with her that night? Coincidentally, the night she goes missing, never seen again. Back to Heather Snapp, Hollin's adoptive mom. You know, so many people across our country want to adopt the perfect baby. You adopted Hollin. Look at her. She looks like a little baby doll right there. And you knew about her developmental disadvantages. You knew that. And you took her in and gave her all the love you had, just like Leslie did. Heather, this has got to crush you. Now, for a moment, after you lost a loved one, your MS kicked in. And MS, and I know from having a close family member that battled MS for a lifetime, is draining and debilitating. And in that period of time, she went to stay with her auntie. What the hey happened? Was she with the auntie when she went to the party, was allowed to go to this party?
Yes, her aunt had a form of custody of Hollin, and she did go to this party.
So to Sydney Sumner joining us, Crime Stories investigative reporter, I can't imagine a worse situation for this girl to be in. mind of a 10-year-old, and she's at a party with all adults. Some of them even know her, and they don't lift a finger. They see her over in the corner, quiet, sobbing, covered in bruises. You know who this reminds me of? This reminds me, Sydney, you and I investigated this case together, Miranda Corsett, a little teen girl who ends up in the clutches of a predator. This is video I've never gotten over. I can't get it out of my mind. Take a look at Miranda Corsett, how trusting, how innocent Miranda Corsett was before she was murdered. Now, take a look at Miranda leaving the house. That's her in the blankets. She's being put in the trunk. That's her head on the left, her hair hanging down. She's being put in the trunk of that car. She's dead. People saw her inside the home with these adults that abused her and beat her. They saw her cowering in the corner, naked, crying, begging. No one did anything. You know, to Franz Borghardt, a veteran defense attorney joining us out of the Baton Rouge jurisdiction. Franz, you and I both know that under our American jurisprudence, no one has the duty to be a good Samaritan. When you see a little girl like Miranda Corsett or like Holland being beaten or abused, you don't have a duty to do anything, do you?
Unfortunately, no, you don't. And even in the face of a complicity argument of, well, look, you were complicit because you let it happen, that doesn't work most of the time. Most of the time, that essentially being in the right place, wrong place, not saying anything, not doing anything, unfortunately, Nancy, is not a crime in most of the states of the United States. So unfortunately, there's not a lot that the criminal justice system can do about this. And frankly, we need to change that.
To Steve Fisher joining us, who has taken an active role in trying to find Holland. Steve Fisher, missing persons, private investigator, search and rescue specialist, owns Search Investigations. Steve, you know, I heard, how many times did Borghardt say, unfortunate, unfortunate, unfortunate? That's like it couldn't have been helped. It could have been helped. Do you ever get sick and tired of people standing by on the sidelines doing nothing when they see a child in need?
Yeah, and I've interviewed the two people extensively that saw her, and the main guy, the guy responsible for bringing her over to the house in the first place, described her as she couldn't form words and only knew she was alive because he could hear her shallowly breathing. And he says he did not call for help because he was afraid that Linkus knew where his daughter and his grandson lived, and he was afraid for his family. It's no excuse. 911 should have been
really. I want to see Fisher, please. He was afraid. Well, guess what? If the perp had been put behind bars for this, he would have nothing to be afraid of. But he's not behind bars because nobody did a D-A-M-N thing.
I think it looks beautiful on me.
Hey.
I do. I think I look gray and black. I always have. Nobody could look this good in black. I mean, seriously, I look awesome in black.
After spending her early years in foster care, Holland was adopted at age 10, finding love and stability with her new parents. She maintained close ties with her former foster family, speaking to them daily.
Her foster mom, Leslie, assumes that Holland is safe. She has no reason to suspect otherwise, but then you realize you haven't heard from her in a week, and were shocked to see a Facebook post from Heather, her former foster mom, wondering, hey, has anybody seen Holly Ann? Tell me about that moment when you realized nobody knew where she was.
Correct. I saw Heather's post on Facebook, and as soon as I saw it, I was like, something's wrong. And I had had some life circumstances happening and realized that I hadn't spoken with her since September 27th. That was the night before my birthday. We talked for a long time that night. And as soon as I saw the post, I was just shocked because I knew that something was wrong. Holland spoke to her mother absolutely every day without fail, text, call, something. She had constant contact with her mother. And I knew if Heather didn't know where she was, that something bad had happened.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
So to you, Heather, this is Holland's adoptive mom. You guys spoke all the time, and I take it that you realized something was horribly wrong. When did that dawn on you?
About 9 to 10 days later, when I hadn't heard from her, then I was like, things are bad. And that's when I went to Leslie and then went to the police.
Now, interesting, the police poo-pooed you. What happened when you went to police about Holland missing?
I went between Kingsport City and Kingsport County, and they both gave me the runaround because she was an adult. Once I explained that she had an IQ of 64 and wasn't exactly capable of making adult decisions, they still wanted me go to one and then go to the other. And because I could not prove where she was last, then they didn't want to help me, period, because I didn't know the exact location that she went missing from.
Oh, my stars. You know, to you, Steve Fisher, that's what happens when people go missing. You don't know where they were last. You don't know where they went missing from. And I've seen it over and over and over. When a teen goes missing, the parents are told, oh, they'll come back. That's total BS. These two moms knew she was gone, and yet they were brushed off, Steve. How often do you see that?
95% of the time. Especially if it's a person that's, you know, runaway that's gone missing before. But in this case, you know, they were saying, listen, she's an adult. She's allowed to go missing. She doesn't have to check in with you if she doesn't want to. And they just thought she would surface after a few days. And then, you know, that obviously did not happen. And here we are, you know, that giving, you know, a huge head start to the people responsible for this.
After she's reported missing, Holland's friend comes forward about leaving Holland at Linkus's home and admits he brought Holland there for more than a party. Linkus specifically asked this friend to bring a girl over. Holland was last seen at Linkus's 4 days after she was left there. Holland was barely conscious and clearly in bad shape.
We know that she was pretty much unconscious, not able to articulate, not able to form sentences or anything like that. From there, I have no idea where she could be or what happened.
From our friends at Missing People in America, that has got to haunt you, Leslie, the shape that Holly Ann was in.
It does. I'm sorry. That's one of the hardest things to hear, is to know that she was left like that with no help.
I'd like to stress that no one has been charged and no one has been named a suspect, and they're all presumed innocent. What happens then? Leslie and Heather go into high gear trying to find the beautiful little girl they've devoted their lives to. Listen.
Going off Holland's last known location, Leslie and Heather plaster Bell Ridge Road with Holland's missing flyers, hoping someone will recognize her. Stephen Linkus, the last person Holland was seen with, gets one look at a poster and flees to Georgia in his mother's car.
Holland's trusting nature made her believe in the goodness of others, but not everyone had her best interests at heart. Both her foster and adoptive family grew worried when she suddenly went silent after meeting a much older man.
You know what, too, Leslie and Heather, First to you, Heather. Heather, my twins have just turned 18. And, of course, we all know that our children know more than a lot more than we think they do. But I look at them sleeping at night. And my son is 6'6", by the way, so he's big. But they're so precious, and they're so innocent. And when I think of Holly Ann looking like my children, about that age, but with the mind of a 10-year-old, sleeping an innocent child's sleep, wanting to be grown up, and she probably thinks that means wearing lipstick and a bra, you know. She has no idea, and she's literally thrown in a den of wolves. This sweet little girl. And if we stand by and do nothing, we're just as bad as the people at the party. And I do not want to be put in the same pot to stew with them. Heather, your message tonight to anyone that's listening about your girl.
If you can help in any way, if you know anything, if you have spoken to anyone that even knows her name, please come forward. Share her story. Help me find my daughter. I love her. I thought I could protect her forever, but I need your help in that endeavor. Please help me find my child.
I don't even know where you get the strength to say that without breaking down in tears. Now I want to go to Leslie. This is a woman that devoted herself as Holland's foster mom. And you know how hard that is, being a foster mom. And these two ladies, warriors with hearts of gold, take in a child most people wouldn't take because she's developmentally challenged. See, when I look at Holland, I see everything bright and beautiful, sugar and spice and everything nice. A lot of people would see her as a developmentally challenged child that they won't touch with a 10-foot pole. But you took her and worked with her and love her. What is your message tonight? It hurts me to just go through the facts that people don't really know Holland.
I would say do the right thing. 761 days in, you have failed her every day since then. And we're tired and we want answers for what has happened. We want to be able to bring her home in one form or another. It's time to do the right thing. You failed her over and over again. And we need her home.
Witnesses say Holland was last seen in the basement at Lincus's home. Sullivan County sheriffs searched Lincus's home and the car he drove to Georgia, but have not revealed the results. Holland only carried her phone with her to Lincus's home, and while the device has not been located, her SIM card is found in another man's device after pinging near Bell Ridge in both Tennessee and Virginia.
Why is this little girl's SIM card from her phone stuck in another guy's phone? And why, do I have this right, Sydney Sumner, Crime Stories investigative reporter, the moment that Leslie and Heather start putting up missing people posters everywhere blanketing the area, Lincus, who is not a suspect or person of interest, takes off to where else? To mommy's house, heads to Georgia. Do I have that right?
Yes, he takes his mother's car from Tennessee after getting just one look at that missing person flyer and takes off to Georgia, where he's arrested. And after that arrest, spending time in jail for petty drug charges, he's extradited back to Tennessee, again, on charges of drug charges. So he's back and forth in and out of jail ever since he flees, afraid of a piece of paper with Holland's name on it.
Very well put, Sydney Sumner. Franz Borghardt, don't you just hate it when your client takes one look at a missing person poster and they, all you see from them is elbows and tail hole. They gone. They leave. That moment, he sees a missing person's poster and leaves town. If that is not damning, I don't know what is. Oh, dear Lord. Let's move forward. Listen to this. Go ahead. Thanks. Thanks for nothing. Listen to this.
Stephen Linkus gives conflicting answers about Hollin. He claims a family member in a red truck picked Hollin up, and other times blames the others living at 1315 Belridge Drive in their own residence. Despite fleeing to Georgia when he learns Hollin is reported missing, Linkus ends every questioning with a similar answer. As far as he knows, Hollin should be okay out there somewhere.
Hey, hey, how you doing?
I'm alright. I'm stressed right now, and, you know, been stressful. I've been talking to the detectives for the last 5 hours.
What's going on?
Well, I mean, they just, you know, they're down here from Sullivan County asking me about Hollin. So.
Oh.
Did you hear that, Borghardt? He's stressed. This little girl was beaten to a pulp, according to witnesses, by him, and he's stressed because he has to talk to police. You know what? When a cop talks to me, I don't feel stressed. Isn't that odd? What a coinkydink.
Is it an admission? Sure. But is it an admission of what? And so I hate to split that hair, Nancy, but I mean, you know, this is just another reason why you don't want your client to get on the phone and run his mouth, because, I mean, it certainly does look damning. It certainly does look inculpatory. But I don't know that this necessarily puts him as the person that either kidnapped her or did something to her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so he beat her and somebody else took her. Okay, maybe it was the little green man from Mars. And again, he has not been charged in this case. But you said he shouldn't talk on the phone. Hello, they're recording your phone calls behind bars. He's behind bars on drug charges. Let's listen to more of Mr. Linkus crying to mommy.
There's some discrepancies in my timeline and every damn thing else like that, and it's because it don't look right. Like, there was a day on the 23rd or some that, you know, I thought about coming back home, and I drove all the way into Tennessee, and the car's been tagged by a damn tag reader, and they wanted to know why I went that far up in Tennessee and then turned around and came back and all that other stuff. And, well, I'd left my damn phone sitting at David's house and didn't think about having my phone or nothing as the stress of everything going on. You know what I mean? It's just one thing after the other, man.
Steve Fisher, what stress? The stress of Leslie and Heather putting up missing person posters, that stressed him out? Why? And do you hear what he says? There's some discrepancies in my timeline and every damn thing else like that. And it's because it don't look right. You notice how he goes all the way to the edge. He didn't say it's because I'm lying through my ASS. He doesn't say that. He says, and it's because it don't look right. Yeah, it doesn't look right. So what stressed him out? The fact that he's got two mothers 3 inches up his tailpipe trying to find their daughter?
Yeah, because at this point he hasn't even been arrested yet. So I don't know what he's so stressed about, right? It's just literally when the sign's been up, he borrowed $40 from somebody for gas and took off with his mom's car. And, you know, hung out in Tennessee and then obviously thought about coming back and had a change of heart. I don't believe for a minute he left his phone behind. I've listened to hours and hours of these calls, and it's very clear that he tried to put a story together. It just wasn't a very good one. And, you know, he's just lying, you know, and, he doesn't want to, answer questions about what happened to Hollin, and that's what we need. We need him to man up. People that were there to man up.
Hollin was last seen at Stephen Linkus's home where he took her to a party. Authorities remain uncertain if Hollin survived the brutal attack.
And of course, he opens his pie hole and talks on the phone behind bars to who else? Mommy. Okay, just FYI, everybody, there is no mommy-child privilege like attorney-client privilege or husband-wife privilege or priest-parishioner privilege. All of this would come into evidence if mommy tells the truth on the stand. So let's see what else he says.
The thing with this girl, man, you know, that really sucks, man, because she seems like a really decent person, you know what I mean? And no one's heard from her, I'm supposing. You know, you haven't said nothing. Last I spoke to the detectives, they were still inquiring about her.
Karen Stark, do you hear him call her this girl?
Without a doubt, Nancy, he called her this girl. And that's depersonalization. In other words, he's distancing himself from who she is, because she's not a real person to him. And if you think about it, that's the kind of predator he is. He's choosing someone who's so diminutive, who's so tiny, and really can't fight for herself. And so she's not real to him. She could have been a doll as far as he's concerned.
That really jumped out at me, the way he refers to her as this girl. And, of course, there's more. Listen.
You know what I'm worried about? Is that Brad. Him and that girl, Trish, do opiates. And you remember they had that one person overdose up there in the trailer. And I'm afraid that, you know, I told you she had a thing for Brad. And I'm afraid something happened there. You know what I mean?
This little girl with the mind of a 10-year-old has a, quote, thing for Brad. I mean, I love it. It's called finger pointing every which way but here. So, do you hear this? What, Sydney Sumner, didn't you tell me he was in two jurisdictions on drug charges?
That's correct. In Bartow County, Georgia, he spent some time there and was brought back to Sullivan County.
Oh, but now, Sydney, he's worried about effing Brad and Trish because they do opiates. I'd like to know where they bought them. But that's a whole nother kettle of fish. More on these recorded jail calls. Listen.
They're just, you know, questioning me about, you know, what's going on and stuff. And I mean, you know, of course, Lisa's not forthcoming with the information and every damn thing that of what she told me and all this stuff. So that's new information to them. And so, I mean, it looks like I'm the last person to see her. You know what I mean? And so it's been stressful. I've told them everything I've told you already and everything.
Oh, gosh darn. This is so stressful. Looks like I was the last one to see her alive. Okay, Steve Fisher, I mean, slippery as an eel. Looks like, I'm the last person to see her. You know what I mean? Do you hear that?
Yeah, and he says, I told them everything that I've told you. In other words, I've stayed on the story is what he's saying. And he reiterates that several times, that Lisa, who lived in a trailer on the property, did not stay on the story because they had come up with a plan to blame this on a drug dealer. And that's what he's upset about because the mom's saying, listen, the detectives are saying our story doesn't match hers anymore. And so he's in code like, trying to tell her, you know, I've told them everything that I told you. And that's, in other words, that's the only part of the story that should come out.
You know, to Franz Borghardt, veteran defense attorney, Sydney Sumner pointed out something off camera. He's starting to speak about her in the past tense. I'll never forget when Scott Peterson did that. While the search was on for Lacey and their unborn child, Connor, he said, she was amazing. And I remember when I heard that, I nearly fell over. This guy, Linkus, who is not charged with the crime, is talking about Holland in the past tense. Do you think you need to tell your clients, don't talk about victims in the past tense while they're still missing?
You know, the worst part about this is every single time you make a jail call, Nancy, it says this phone call is being recorded. Like, it couldn't be plainer. And
wait,
and
you
yeah,
think that's the worst part of this? The worst part of this is a 19-year-old girl with the mind of a 10-year-old. Now she's missing, and this guy was the last one to see her. That's what's the bad part. You're upset that your clients don't pay attention when they hear, this call is being recorded. That is your problem right now, Borghardt?
You asked me if I was upset about my clients making references to victims in the past tense. Yes, in general, referring to the victim in the past tense is a huge admission, and I would advise a client not only not to talk on the phone of a prison, but not to talk about individuals that are missing where you can be placed with them before they've been gone missing.
This guy, Stephen, well, you know, Franz, you're absolutely correct, and that's why you win so many cases. I don't like it, but we have an adversarial system. That is our system of justice, and I accept that. I'm sure you're going to be gnashing your teeth and switching your tail when you hear this. Here is Stephen Linkus again on a jailhouse call to Mommy, just really pouring out his heart, blaming two people named Brad and Trish as being effing slimy as F. He's quite the poet with his use and mastery of the English language. Listen.
I just feel like Brad and Trish are slimy as and there's something going on there. You know, I think there's some kind of relationship between Brad and Trish, and I think it's like a jealous type thing, too. I'm not quite sure, you know what I mean? And what makes me say that is the things that Lisa said. And then everybody's making this difficult because, you know, it involves their drug dealers and that type of thing, and so no one's saying nothing, you know what I mean?
The search for Holland, also called affectionately Holly Inn, is on. Steve Fisher, there was a massive search of 60 acres by police and volunteers.
Yeah, there was a search of a property. You know, a tip had come in. Actually, somebody had called me and said they were at this house and a dog had come up with a what they thought was a human leg bone in its mouth. And that brought law enforcement out with some cadaver dogs, but there was no hit on there. And there has since been a large volunteer search because it is a big property and wooded property. And we had some intelligence of there being a yard barn in specific that she might be located in, but everything came back negative so far.
Is this in and around Linkus's home?
It's about 6 to 8 miles, I believe, from there. But it's definitely within range of, someplace he could take her in that car.
Well, Steve Fisher, Holland's disappearance has sparked fears of a serial killer in this area. And I assume that's because of the disappearance of Layla Santanello.
Yeah, and I'm the investigator on both those cases, and so I'm familiar with both, and I get why people are tying the two together. However, we have nothing that shows that they really are linked. They're two separate events. We actually have a good idea of what happened to Layla as well. But, you know, in this case, listen, there's other people that know what happened. There's other people that are involved. This Brad guy that he's trying to lay it on is the guy who brought her to Linkus's house. He knows that by using that name, that, you know, law enforcement's already linked that to, you know, to Brad. So he's trying to lay it off on him.
Again, no one has been charged or named a person of interest in this case. To Leslie Hunt, this is Holland's foster mom, joined by Heather, her adoptive mom. Leslie, you have gotten the runaround from law enforcement. Explain.
Whenever someone goes missing, you think some things will go a certain way. They just have not gone the way you would think that they should go. We know that we're not privy to a lot of information, but you would think that we would be given more information than we have been given. There are some texts that are in question, and it seems like they know the answers to who sent those texts, but they will not reciprocate with Steve Fisher, our private investigator, who we have full faith in. It just seems like a lot of times Holland's case has been pushed off to the side, and we've had, you know, meeting after meeting with them as we are allowed to, and it just seems like there are three, you know, separate entities working this case. And while I understand that they can't reciprocate all information, it would be helpful if they would take into account and consideration what Steve Fisher has done so far and the information that he holds. He's been very good at getting witnesses to come forward and speaking with them. And it's just not reciprocated the way it should be.
Joining us tonight in the search for Holland, two very special guests, is Detective Anthony Stevens, lead detective in the case, and Captain Richard Frazier, the captain of the Criminal Investigation Division there in Sullivan County. Gentlemen, thank you for being with us. This is taking a really long time to solve. And let me tell you, as a former prosecutor, that's the last thing I want to see. The last thing I want to do is put together a cold case. What, if anything, is happening now, Detective?
So, since the beginning of the investigation, we've conducted approximately 84 interviews of individuals. We've also conducted two residential search warrants related to this. approximately 14 electronical or data related search warrants was done. We've had approximately three vehicles that we did search warrants on that we searched, and there was two individuals' DNA that we had to get a search warrant for. We've also subpoenaed approximately six electronical or data related material. We received consent to search approximately four areas of property, residential property or land. We've also received one individual's DNA by consent and approximately eight electronic or data related devices that we got consent to search also. We've had a census from the Tennessee Bureau of Investigation since the beginning of it. They've helped us with, they supplied us with a with drone technology to search like areas of land for disturbed ground. We've had several agents that's assisted with us on this investigation and analysts to gather information. We've also utilized canine cadaver dogs that was used on various properties. And we conducted grid searches on all the properties that we've been on.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Detective Anthony Stevens, you know the family believes nothing is being done. Maybe it's a communication issue, because when I would be working a case in the midst of it, ankle deep, knee deep, hip deep in investigations, driving all over the city of Atlanta, taking helicopters to scenes that were far away, going to the crime lab, I didn't think every night I'm going to check in with the family, because you're in the thick of it. But the family, from their point of view, and I've been there as a crime victim myself, it's like trying to get answers, trying to find something in the dark with the blindfold and earplugs in. You don't know where to turn. You don't understand what's happening. So I understand their confusion, their hurt. They want answers. Do you think you're close? Do you think you're close to an arrest?
So we definitely understand that they want answers. We want answers too. And, you know, unfortunately, there is some things that we cannot supply them due to this being an ongoing investigation. So, you know, we try to talk to them about some things that we can supply them, but we don't want to give too much, obviously, to the public that could hurt this case. I don't want to say whether we can't really go into whether we're close, but it is being worked. I mean, just last week, we literally did a grid search and used canine cadaver dogs on a property in Kingsport. So it's been worked since day one. But we try to supply the answers that we're allowed to give that won't hurt this or impede this investigation.
Detective and Captain, again, thank you for being with us. We have heard through witnesses that Holland was seen at a party, which turned out not to be a party at all, with Stephen Linkus, and that she was seen at Stephen Linkus's mother's home, that she was severely beaten. Nobody did a thing like call you or 911. Yeah. They stood by with this teen girl who has the mind of a little child. There's no telling what was done to her before she was killed, and I have no doubt that she was killed. Have you spoken to any of those witnesses that could confirm that?
So, you know, obviously there's not a lot of the specifics we can go in on that, but the witnesses that have came forward that was there or has came forward, we've spoken with. And we've took statements, like I said. I mean, we've got approximately 84 statements we've taken so far, just from people that either knew Holland, heard some information, tips that came in.
Can you confirm that she was at that so-called party?
We can't confirm whether there was even, I mean, like a party. I mean, we can confirm that. I mean, she did have contact on that property, but we can't confirm whether there was a party there or anything like that. we can confirm that she's
okay,
been
forget
there.
The party. That was what she was told. She was going to a party. It was no party at all. I think she was being served up like a Thanksgiving turkey on a platter to an abuser. That's what I think. It's like ordering a pizza. He's tired of one girl, so he orders another. Let me rephrase the question, Detective. Can you confirm she was ever at that particular home leading up to the time she disappeared?
Yes.
Well, that's certainly a start. Have you managed to speak to Stephen Linkous? Would he even speak to you?
So we have spoke to Stephen Linkous, I believe, three times, and we received a statement.
You got a statement. Is he a suspect or even a POI, person of interest in the case?
So with this still being an ongoing investigation, we obviously don't want to speak on that right at the moment. But like I said, this is still an ongoing investigation. We want to try to maintain that integrity. We can.
Well, I understand that, Detective. The last thing a prosecutor at some point in the future wants is for you to name a person of interest or suspect, and then it turns out to be somebody else.
Correct.
Because then that's perfect fodder for the defense. They'll Correct. Say, hey, weren't you on Crime Stories? And you said Linkous is a person of interest, Linkous is a suspect, and it turns out to be his best friend? Yeah, we don't want that. Okay. Let me rephrase that question as well. Do you believe you have identified at least a person of interest, if not a suspect, whether it's Linkous or not?
I do believe that we've identified, you know, person of interest that we have put some time in to look into. That's for sure happening. But, you know, obviously, like you stated, we don't want to jump the gun. We don't want to make things out to be something that, you know, it may not be. We have to do everything in our power to do everything correctly, because we want a really good ending on this case, as anybody would.
Do you have a theory on what happened? Do you believe, which is, of course, not admissible in court, but do you believe you know what happened?
I believe we have an idea, yes, ma'am.
Since they are a public record, a search warrant, hopefully a return on that search warrant, can you tell us anything about the specific searches? You listed a lot of work, a lot of searches, a lot of subpoenas, DNA, you name it, whether it's consensual or by search warrant. Can you tell us, because they are public record, I assume, about the searches? What was searched?
So the residences, obviously, you know, we state that we've done residential search warrants. We don't obviously want to go into detail where these residents was at, but, you know, anything that was helpful that could help the investigation, we obviously was looking for. We did 14 electronical search warrants, either cell phones, Facebook, stuff like that, general stuff. But, you know, I believe the search warrants are under seal right now, due to this still being an active investigation, because we don't throw all that out there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. Did you, and I understand that you did, locate Holland's SIM card from her phone?
So with this still being an ongoing investigation, that's also not something that we're going to be able to, you know, tell you right now. But we will clarify, though, that we do not know that she had a phone that night or during the last time she spoke with her mother, her family.
What, if anything, do you want the public to know about this case? How could the public help you if they could?
So anybody that had contact with Holland between September and October of 2023, we encourage you to come forward and speak with us about any contact you had with her or if anything was off. We also ask that the public provide accurate information. We've received a lot of inaccurate information that's impeded this investigation. So if we can get accurate information, good information to go on, we would really be thankful for that. If anybody had any contact or has any tip information, we encourage you to contact TBI 1-800-TBI-FIND, or you can call Sullivan County Sheriff's Office at 423-279-7500.
And I think to add to that, anybody that thinks they have just a little bit of information, we're looking for small details of information at this point. So if anybody thinks that their information is not relevant, we're imploring them to come forward and to give us a call, because that might be the small piece of the puzzle that we're missing.
Do you believe this is now a homicide case, or is it a missing persons case, Detective?
So we still have to work this as a missing persons case. That's what it is at this moment, is missing person.
And what, if any, message do you want to send to Holland's family tonight?
We are more than welcome to be as upfront and honest about anything that we can be, but I think that it's important to understand that to maintain the integrity of the investigation, we can't release a lot of details. I wish we could, and I wish we could be more open about certain things, but if we want to do this correctly, we can't. We can't do that.
Joining us tonight, Detective Anthony Stevens, lead detective on the Holland Snap disappearance, along with Captain Richard Frazier. He is the captain of the Criminal Investigation Division there in Sullivan County. Gentlemen, good luck. Thank you for being
with us. Thank you.
If you know or think you know anything about Holland, also called Hollyann, disappearance, please contact Sullivan County Sheriff's. We remember American hero Lieutenant Michael Hill, Memphis PD, killed in the line of duty after serving the public 33 years, leaving behind his wife, now a widow. American hero Lieutenant Michael Hill. Nancy Grace signing off. Goodbye, friend. This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.